Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, moderator. Warm good morning to everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY 2022 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the call, a review of operations of the company. For the second quarter of FY 2021-22, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at rupees 31,474 million, as against rupees 29,525 million, recording an increase of 6.6% year-on-year. For the 6 months ending September 30, 2021, Glenmark's consolidated revenues was at rupees 61,123 million, as against rupees 52,973 million, recording an increase of 15.4% year-on-year. On to the businesses. First, the India business. Sales from the formulation business in India in Q2 FY 2022 was at rupees 9,689 million, as against rupees 10,507 million in the previous corresponding quarter, recording a degrowth of 7.8%. As per July-September 2021 IQVIA data, while the growth has been impacted by lower contribution from COVID products as compared to the last year, the non-COVID base portfolio of the company grew 16.7% as compared to the non-COVID IPM growth of 15.3% during the quarter. The India business continues to outperform the industry growth and has grown consistently over the past several years. Glenmark is the fastest growing company amongst the top 20 companies on a MAT September 2021 basis. As per IQVIA MAT September 2021 data, Glenmark's India business recorded growth of 26.89% as compared to the IPM growth of 16.77%. The company has increased its market share ranking to 13th from 14, with market share of 2.51% as compared to 2.31% in the same period last year. Glenmark is ranked first in antivirals, second in derma, fourth in respiratory, and sixth in the cardio market in India. The company launched 10 new products during the quarter. Amongst key launches, the company launched super bioavailable form of itraconazole under brand Simtran SB and Candidral SB, further building on its antifungal franchise. Super itraconazole provides higher bioavailability at lower dosages as compared to traditional itraconazole. The India formulation business achieved several important milestones. As per IQVIA MAT September 2021, Fabiflu was the second largest brand across all brands in India during the period. Telma became the second brand of the company to achieve sales of rupees 300 crores as per IQVIA. Ascoril D Plus became the 10th brand of Glenmark to enter the IPM 300 brand league. Glenmark's novel patent-protected and globally researched sodium glucose co-transporter 2 inhibitor, Remogliflozin, continues to do well in India. The company launched Remozen MV, which is the first triple combination of Remogliflozin, vildagliptin, and metformin for type 2 diabetes in adults at an affordable price in October 2021. This strategy is now showing results with total Remogliflozin sales, including brand extensions and combinations, growing in strong double digits during the quarter. Phase III clinical trials for nitric oxide nasal spray to be launched under Glenmark's brand FabiSpray are currently ongoing, and the company expects to commercialize the product during the calendar year. Glenmark has an exclusive long-term agreement with Canadian biotech Sanofi to commercialize FabiSpray for COVID-19 treatment in India and certain other Asian markets. Glenmark's consumer care business recorded revenue of rupees 496 million in the second quarter. Secondary sales in Candid Cream grew 46% year-on-year, while La Shield recorded its highest secondary sales in the quarter with growth of 130% year-on-year. Candid Powder maintained its dominant market leadership status with a market share of 64.2% for H1. Coming to North America. North America registered revenue from sales of finished dosage formulations of rupees 7,543 million, which is $102 million, for Q2 FY22 as against revenues of rupees 7,522 million, $101 million for the previous corresponding quarter. Glenmark received final approval for clindamycin phosphate foam 1% during the quarter. In addition, Glenmark launched telmisartan and hydrochlorothiazide tablets. The company filed 11 ANDA applications with the U.S. FDA, including three filings from Monroe in H1 FY22, and is on track to file 18-20 ANDAs in FY22, including 4-5 filings from Monroe. Glenmark's marketing portfolio in the U.S., as on end September 30, 2021, consists of 175 generic products authorized for distribution. The company currently has 47 applications pending in various stages of the approval process with the U.S. FDA, of which 20 are Para IV applications. Coming to RCI's Asia and MEA regions, what we call ROW markets. For Q2 FY22, revenues from ROW was rupees 6,526 million, as against rupees 3,806 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording growth of 71.5% year-on-year. The company witnessed healthy growth in the region, aided by strong traction in the COVID portfolio and also strong growth in the base business. Secondary sales in Russia grew 14% and 49% year-on-year in value terms in Russia and Ukraine respectively. As per IQVIA, Russia segment grew 22.8% in value terms as compared to retail market growth of 14.6% in Q2. In Q1 FY22, the company had successfully commercialized Ryaltris in Russia with indications of seasonal and perennial allergic rhinitis in patients over 12 years of age. The company has expanded its respiratory franchise with the launch of Ryaltris Mono during the quarter. The company also witnessed signs of recovery in Asia with strong secondary growth, sales growth led by positive momentum in key markets like Thailand and Philippines. The growth across all the major MEA markets, including Kenya, South Africa, and Saudi Arabia, was positive. Europe. Glenmark Europe's operations for Q2 FY20 was at rupees 3,383 million, as against rupees 3,181 million, recording growth of 6.3% year-on-year. The company witnessed a mixed performance in the Western European region. While growth was affected by continued COVID restrictions in some countries, key markets like U.K. and Netherlands witnessed positive growth. The Central Eastern European region witnessed healthy growth across most key markets. For H1 FY22, the European region signed seven contracts for in-licensing products. In line with the company's global focus on the respiratory segment, the company launched tiotropium dry powder inhaler, the bioequivalent version of Spiriva HandiHaler in Netherlands, Spain, and Norway during the quarter. Further, the company launched Ryaltris in U.K., Poland, and the Czech Republic in October 2021. The company has detailed plans to launch both these products in multiple other markets in Europe, both with our front end and with our partners. Latin America. Glenmark's revenues from its Latin America and Caribbean operations was rupees 960 million for the second quarter of FY22, as against rupees 984 million. Revenue growth was impacted by Brazil, where the market remained challenging due to the pandemic. However, we have begun to witness recovery in this region, with most of the other markets recording positive growth momentum during the quarter, including Mexico, which grew 27% year-on-year during the quarter. Glenmark's specialty and innovative R&D pipeline. Ryaltris is currently under review with the U.S. FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the USA. Glenmark's response to the agency's CRL was submitted to the FDA in July 2021, with a PDUFA goal date in January 2022. During the second quarter, Glenmark received regulatory approval for Ryaltris in Philippines and Botswana. Glenmark also received MA grants for Ryaltris in several EU markets subsequent to conclusion of the DCP procedure in the first quarter. Sales continue to progress well in Australia, South Africa, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan, and is gaining traction in Russia post-launch. The company launched Ryaltris in U.K., Poland, and in the Czech Republic in October 2021. Glenmark is targeting launch in other key European markets as well as Philippines, Peru, and Ecuador in the coming quarters. GBR310. Glenmark has announced successful phase I results for GBR310 that suggests similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, safety, and immunogenicity profiles between GBR310 and the reference product omalizumab, marketed in the U.S. under the brand name Xolair. The company is in discussions with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before initiating phase III studies. GRC39815 is currently under phase I clinical development with a single ascending dose study in the U.S. The phase one study is expected to be completed in the next few quarters. GRC-17536. Phase 2B study was initiated in Q2 FY22 and is currently ongoing in India with 80 patients randomized till date. The company is evaluating further options including out-licensing for the molecule. GRC-54276. Preclinical in vitro and in vivo profiling was completed in Q1 FY22 and preclinical DMPAK, non-GLP and GLP toxicity studies are currently underway. IND enabling studies are planned to be initiated shortly with phase 1 submission to DCGI planned in Q4 FY22. Glenmark Life Sciences. For the second quarter of the financial year, revenues from operations including captive sales was at ₹5,618 million as against ₹5,208 million, growing at 7.9% year-on-year. The EBITDA margin stood at 30.2% for Q2 FY22. External sales for GLS was at ₹3,354 million as against ₹3,213 million, recording growth of 4.4% year-on-year. The growth was impacted due to higher base of COVID products in the previous year. GLS is in the process of executing brownfield and greenfield capacity expansion projects to support strategic growth levers. GLS declared an interim dividend of ₹10.5 per share on a face value of ₹2 in the quarter. For further updates on the organization, please log on to www.glenmarklifesciences.com. Ichnos Sciences. For the second quarter of the financial year, Glenmark invested ₹1,850 million, which is $25 million, as compared to ₹2,250 million, which is $30.09 million invested in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year. For the first 6 months of the current financial year, Glenmark has invested ₹3,467 million, which is $47 million USD, as compared to ₹3,980 million, which is $53.23 million invested in the corresponding period of the previous financial year. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to www.ichnossciences.com. The pipeline update for the latest quarter of this financial year is published on this site. The key objectives for FY22, we expect the revenue growth to be around 10 to 15% during FY22. We expect to sustain EBITDA margin performance at similar levels of FY21. We expect to reduce debt by at least ₹16 billion in FY22 through a combination of free cash generation and IPO proceeds. Post FY22, the strategic priority is to enhance the free cash generation for further debt reduction. We prioritize this over R&D investments and capital expenditure. We also expect to close 1 to 2 out-licensing deal agreements in Ichnos during the current financial year. Some notes before we open for Q&A. Forex loss for the quarter was at ₹25.9 crores, which is recorded in other income. Gross debt for the period ending 30th September 2021 was at ₹3587 crores as compared to ₹4,687 crores as on 31st March 2021, which is a reduction of 1,100 crores. Net debt for the period ending 30th September 2021 was at ₹2159 crores as compared to ₹3549 crores as on 31st March 2021. The total net debt reduction in H1 was at ₹1390 crores from a combination of IPO proceeds and internal cash generated. The company further incurred cash expenditures of ₹40 crores in ABCD Technologies, $7.5 million premium on prepayment of FCCBs, and a dividend payout of ₹70 crores in first half FY22. Inventory for the period ending 30th September 2021 was at ₹2531 crores as compared to ₹2277 crores as on 31st March 2021. Receivables for the period ending 30th September 2021 was at ₹2810 crores as compared to ₹2572 crores as on 31st March 2021. Payables for the period ending 30th September 2021 was at ₹2379 crores as compared to ₹2238 crores as on 31st March 2021. Thus, the net working capital for the company has increased by ₹351 crores in H1 FY22. The total asset addition was at ₹171 crores in the quarter as compared to ₹260 crores in Q2 FY21. Of this, the tangible asset addition was for the quarter was at ₹132 crores. R&D expenditure for Q2 was at ₹329 crores, which was 10.5% to net sales for the quarter. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I would like to introduce the management of Glenmark on the call. We have Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global CFO, and Mr. Robert Crockart, Chief Commercial Officer. With that, we'd like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is a clarification on IPO proceeds. So did you receive around 10 billion of proceeds during the quarter, which was utilized for debt reduction out of the 12 billion which you earlier indicated?
So Damayanti, good morning. This is Mani here. So for the IPO, we received about 1,513 crores, so of which all of it has gone in debt reduction only. And out of which about 160 plus crores we have spent on actually the issue expenses, plus there were some taxes on the offer for sale. So net we received about something like 1,350 or so. So all that has gone in debt reduction.
Okay, and the remaining amount we should be receiving in the second half?
No, there is nothing to receive. No, we have got received everything. No, that what I'm saying, 1,500 plus crores we received as IPO proceeds, of which 1,060 was primary. 460 odd was for was the offer for sale. I have received both the monies, and out of both the monies also, when you do an issue, you have to spend some money on the expenses plus an offer for sale, because it's like a secondary sale, you have to pay some taxes on that. Net of all that, we received about 1,350. That has all gone to reduce the debt. Okay, as you can see, my net debt has gone down by almost 1400 crores, so this has gone a big way in reducing that. Yeah, plus we got some internal accruals as well.
Okay, so thank you for clarification. And in the second half, whatever like our debt reduction target, it will be mostly done through the internal cash generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so whatever we have said, 200 plus crores will happen in the second half. Yeah, to reach our target of at least 1,600 crores or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. And my second question is on ROW market. Very strong performance during the quarter. So obviously COVID. Could have some contribution, but can you clarify like how much sales we have received on part of COVID product, and how is the base business going, and how should we look at this part of the business?
Hi, good morning. It's Robert here. I'll take that. So just in short, if you look at the base business excluding our Favi products, we've been looking at around about 20%+ growth. But we've seen across our COVID products very positive results across multiple markets. So, and we continue to believe that the base business will continue to grow in this basis.
Okay. And my last question is on US. I say like steady performance in a difficult environment. So what is the price erosion which you are witnessing in your portfolio? And when do you see some normalcy to set in the market?
Okay, so look, I think, yes, you're right. I mean, it's been a very tough environment out there, and pricing has been the number one reason for us finding it extremely difficult. We find that the pricing is up to as high as 15% around in that region, 10 to 15%, the price erosion.
Sorry, around 15% you mentioned.
No, it's so the price erosion on the entire portfolio is around 6-7%, somewhere thereabouts.
And when do you expect some normalcy to set in here?
So I think on the price erosion, on a consistent basis, for us, given that we have, given that we have a lower base, we think overall, the U.S. will continue to grow YOY in the second half, right, and continue to grow QOQ, right? Price erosion is going to continue to sustain. It's going to be high. So I don't think you can expect, you know, a significant improvement in the price erosion environment.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks for your response. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. Glenn, on the India business, you know, given that there have been some generic competition in Flozins and Gliptins, is that impacting your growth? Because if I look at a two-year CAGR, it's sort of in single digits. So is the growth in India slowing down, and can you just talk through what are the positives and negatives that we can think of for the India business, and, you know, what sort of growth you are expecting going forward?
I think India continues to do very well for us, right? I mean, we continue to remain the fastest growing company. We are consistently outperforming with Favi, without Favi. The growth numbers also remain very strong, right? I mean, that remains consistent. To answer your question about the diabetes franchise, there has been a slowdown, obviously, because of, you know, dapagliflozin and some of the other ones. But we're still growing YOY, right, in the diabetes space. And Q2 was a good quarter because with the launch of the triple combination, that really helped the overall diabetes franchise. So, I mean, we remain very confident of India, right? If you see IMS also, you're talking of IQVIA puts us at 15%+ growth. So it's a strong franchise, and we see those growth trends to continue.
And Glenn, this Remo, till how long you have patent protection here? And is that a, will that be an issue when it, whenever it goes off patent?
So I can't comment on the specific patent expiry, but, you know, as far as Remo goes, as you know, you know, you've already witnessed DAPA, you know, you know, erosion in the same class, right? So there are lots of players who are in the DAPA space, right, in the SGLT2 space. And I think, you know, we don't anticipate that there'll be a significant, you know, dent in the franchise, right, beyond a point. Obviously, growth, you know, the extraordinary growth that we were seeing in Remo, there is a slowdown there, right, because of the DAPA generic launches, and soon it will be EMPA and some of the others also, right? But the franchise is still growing for us, YOY, and on a consistent basis.
Okay. My second question is on the U.S. market. There is a fair bit of a decline sequentially. Now, what I also noticed is that there has been a lot of product recalls, particularly injectables from the Monroe facility. Is there any challenge that you're facing on the manufacturing side, and how much of an impact those had on your revenues? You know, products like Brovana and all sort of you know, failed to sort of pick up. If you have any comments on what's happening on the manufacturing side and product recalls.
So we had a voluntary recall that was done out of some of the products that we were manufacturing from Monroe. Clearly, this was not initiated by any regulatory actions, but it was a voluntary recall because of some quality issues that we faced. So I think, you know, as far as the recall goes, the impact has been minimal so far, right? And I think second half, H2, you should see some of these products coming back and our market shares coming back, right, on these products.
Okay. If I can ask one more question, Glenn, on the, if you can update on anything incremental on Ichnos as far as, you know, out-licensing or fundraising is concerned. And also, you have this biosimilar Xolair, which you have mentioned for some time now. Is there an issue with the product as such that, you know, we haven't seen a licensing deal there? So if you can give any insight on that product as well. Thank you.
Sure. So on Ichnos, the two things, right? One is the products, right? I mean, both 1342 continues to do well in clinical trials, and now 1442, we are preparing for it to enter the clinics this year. So we'll have two very strong bispecific antibodies in the clinics in this year. And then we have a trispecific, which will come in next year. So I think the platform and the technology is doing really well for us. As we guided this year, we will close one or two licensing deals. So we are very close to doing one deal. We still remain on course to doing one, maybe even two deals yet this year, right, which will bring in some upfront payments into Ichnos and some cash flows this year. Next year, of course, you know, with three assets in being in the clinics, two to three assets being in the clinics, right, that franchise becomes exceedingly valuable, right, at that point, and with 1342 POC hopefully coming through, right, closer to the end of this year, we think, there's a strong possibility at that point this company will get valued appropriately and we'll be able to do a capital raise.
Okay. So, Glenn, are you saying that the capital raise efforts are not being pursued at this point? You're waiting for more of this to play out over the next 12 months before you again restart the process?
All I can say is for this year, till we see POC for 1342, right, we will not go in for a capital raise.
Okay. And any comment on Xolair, Glenn?
On Xolair, we still continue to pursue partnerships for the asset.
Yeah, but any hurdle if you want to kind of call out or anything you want to share on that?
We are phase three ready with Xolair. Obviously, the investment has to be weighed. We've clearly decided we will not invest in the phase three, and hence we want to partner it up. Otherwise, it remains a good opportunity overall.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just the first one is on the margin dynamics. So I think we saw gross margins go up, but I think the other operating expenses have increased to kind of keep the margins where they are at about 19%. So just want to understand some of the dynamics behind it.
So, Shyam, Mani here. So two things. Obviously, our gross margins, on a historical basis or whatever we are seeing the trend, normally we've been at about 66-67%. So when there is no COVID products, it will obviously go very close to that. And as far as the other expenses are concerned, obviously we have controlled it better in the past couple of years. And I believe that while it may be a little higher in the second half, it may go up to maybe 25-26, but only in the second half mainly. So I think broadly you can see your EBITDA margins staying at about 19%. Yeah.
Yes, so Mani, you're saying in the second half and just correlating to your guidance, so we go to 65-66, but the 26% other expenses.
Yeah, there'll be increase in other. Yeah, broadly. So broadly, we take care of our, and that's working well as per, you know, the way markets are there and how it is. So I think around 19% EBITDA is pretty much on.
Got it. Helpful. Second question, just to the earlier participant, you had mentioned for the U.S. price erosion at about 10-15%. It's one of the higher numbers we have heard during this earnings season. So is it a function of our portfolio? Is it because we are the challengers and we are taking those price cuts to gain share? If you can help us understand, Bob or Glenn, if you can help us understand what's happening on the pricing environment and are we the ones that are reducing prices?
So I think, Shyam, Robert was referring to prices on a specific portfolio. I think overall it's in the range of 6-7%, right, what we are seeing right now.
Okay, so it's not a double digit plus. If you see, I think, Glenn, I think some of the commentary has also been inventory destock from the channel. Are you experiencing that as well during the quarter, U.S.?
I mean, I think the U.S. environment continues to remain challenging, right, in terms of the number of competitors, the new product approvals, and pricing, right? So it's a very tough environment, right? It's more it's rapidly commoditizing.
Sure. Got it. And this is how it's going to remain at least in the foreseeable future at this point.
That's what we think.
Okay. Got it. Second question is on Realtris. You've got approvals and maybe launch in the UK and Europe. So how, any early indications of color that you've got, and how should we look at the overall opportunity for this?
So I think Realtris in general, we've had very positive momentum. When you look at our launches in Australia, South Africa, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, more recently also in Russia, the momentum's been very good. And we have multiple countries that we're launching as we speak. So just in October, we've launched in the UK, Poland, Czech, and so on. So, yes, I think we're ahead of the game, and we expect it to continue in this way.
Got it. Thank you, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and good morning, everyone. Glenn, once you out-license one or two from Ichnos, then what does it mean for Glenmark's R&D investment into Ichnos on a quarterly basis? Does it bring down the rate meaningfully?
So, Sameer, if you see this year itself, the R&D spends have come down overall, right? We're at about 10.5%. And also, Ichnos's burn rate has come down and is constantly on the decline because, you know, the big spender was ISB 830, which we were running the phase 2B. You know, since that's over, now we're running, we have one asset in the clinics and another one entering. So the overall spend rate has come down for Ichnos, and it will stay lower, right? So that will be the P&L impact, Sameer, right, in terms of the when you consolidate. Obviously, the deals will bring in cash, right? So our cash investment into Ichnos will come down on a consistent basis, right, starting this year. So if this year we are investing, you know, we were on a regular basis, if we were to invest 90 million, that will come down by 10 or 20 million or 30 million, depending on what the upfront looks like. And then subsequent years also, with the capital raise and further licensing revenues, the cash investments will keep coming now.
Okay. Okay, that's great. Lead candidate that's, you know, very likely to get out-licensed, that's 830.
I think both 830 and 880, right, are the two assets, right, that we are hoping to out-license this year. So we're pretty comfortable that at least one of the two will get done pretty quickly.
Okay. Okay, that's great. And Glenn, any thoughts on Spiriva, tiotropium for the U.S. market?
So we are working on it, Sameer. All we can say is, you know, our respiratory launches in the U.S. will start from FY24 onwards, right? So if I look at the next few years, you know, next year, Ryaltris will be a big driver to our revenues globally, right? Basically, pan-Europe, along with Menarini, U.S., along with Hikma, and in the rest of the world, we'll be commercializing in multiple markets on our own. So FY23 and FY24 will be big years for Ryaltris in terms of the revenue scale-up. And the way the product is doing, as Robert mentioned, right, since it's doing really well, we're able to get share, that should be a good contributor to us. From 24 onwards, we will start launching, we hope to start bringing some of the respiratory products to the U.S. market, FY24 onwards.
Great. How many of your inhaler products are presently in phase 3 clinical?
So, Sameer, we can't comment. We have one which is initiating phase 3 or is in phase 3. But on the rest, we can't comment.
Okay. Oh, no, this is very clear.
I mean, we have three products in Europe, right? I mean, we have Salmex, right? We have Tio DPI commercial. We have Ryaltris commercial, right? These three are commercial. We have one more product, which is we're hoping to commercialize next year, which is a big product. So I think we'll have 4-5 products in Europe by next year in FY23 on the respiratory side. And in the US, we will start commercializing from FY24 onwards, either on our own or through a partnership.
Okay. And sorry, Glenn, just a follow-up on this. So have you disclosed the name of this big inhaler launch in Europe next year, you just mentioned?
No, we haven't spoken about it.
Okay. Okay, that's great. And one final question, if I may. How are you seeing the input cost pressures, Glenn? It could be raw material side, on energy side or freight or anything. Any thoughts on that?
Sameer, this is Mani here. So on the raw material side, obviously, on and off, we see some uptick and, some of the supply chain issues. But on overall basis as a firm, we've always taken some strategic calls to actually increase our inventories, etc., to take care of ourselves. So I think broadly, with the initiatives that do on the raw material side, we see margins very close to where we always were. So as of now, at least we don't see a big dent or anything on that. On the other side, if you ask me on the logistics side, yes, there have been increases on the freight cost, but people have been, again, a little smarter. You increase more of sea than air. So a lot of, efficiency improvements are there to take care of some of these headwinds. Okay. So I think on and off, as I alluded to one of the earlier questions, that we'll try and, we are definitely there on the EBITDA margins at about 19%. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all for that. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. So I have two questions, the first being on CapEx. If we could get like some outlook or guidance on how we see CapEx for the second half of this year, as well as maybe FY23. And my second question is on Ryaltris for the US FDA approval timeline. So is there a broad timeline that we're expecting them to respond to our response for the Ryaltris launch?
So Krish, I'll take the first question. So on the CapEx, as we had guided earlier to about 650, between 650 to 700, I think the first half clearly indicates we are very much on the same trajectory. Whatever number we had, 337 or something, so broadly we should be in and around 650 plus. Next year also we see ourselves around those levels only. As we had guided earlier, in the past we used to have a lot more, but over the years some of the expansions, etc., have been taken care of. So at least for the next 1 to 2 years, we see these numbers being there. Yeah.
And on Ryaltris, with the PDUFA date being Jan, so we are hoping to get approval around that time frame.
Okay, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Vishal from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. On Ryaltris, can you explain how does it, how is it differentiated versus other anti-allergy nasal spray like Dymista and other such nasal sprays?
So, we have a big phase 3 study which has actually shown superiority of mometasone and olopatadine into the monotherapies, right, of plain mometasone and other ICS products, right, in the phase 3. So there is clear evidence of better efficacy, right? And that's the biggest driver for the product.
Okay. And any color on how the product is doing wherever it is launched?
No, the product's doing well across all the markets, right? So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I can repeat that. I mean, I think it's, as I said earlier, you know, we've launched it in multiple countries, and with all the countries where we've launched, we're ahead of the game. We're expecting multiple. We've just launched in 4 more countries just in October. So in the coming months, we expect a similar trend.
Would you also look to launch this in India? You've already launched it.
No, we haven't launched Ryaltris in India. We have a product, Ryaltris AZ, which is mometasone azelastin in India, but we don't have Ryaltris in India yet.
Okay. And just on this sanitized nasal spray, when should we expect the phase 3 data on it?
We are hoping to complete the trial. As you know, the number of COVID cases have come down in India significantly, so we are struggling to, from a recruitment perspective, but we are hoping to try and finish the trial, around the December-Jan time frame.
Okay, so the approval will take longer.
Approval should be around Q4. Is the worst case for us.
Okay. And is there enough manufacturing capacity here on sanitized nasal spray?
Yes, we do have capacities.
Okay. And on molnupiravir, are you working on that molecule?
We can't comment on our pipeline, right, for India.
Okay. So in the previous quarter, you had highlighted 2 large launches that you expect to make, 2 meaningful launches, probably in India, I think. So has those happened or they are yet to happen?
So we launched subaratriconazole, which is a huge launch, first time in India. We launched Vilor-F, which is vilantrol fluticasone, again, first time in India. These are the 2 big ones, and we launched the triple combination of remogliflozin, right? So we had 3 big launches in Q2.
Okay. And there's one final one. In the US, you had launched theophylline and Brovana, but I think the market share ramp up is not good enough. On theophylline, my sense is you have low teens market share, despite being the only player. So is there an issue ramping this product up?
So I think, as regards theophylline, we're still working on driving our market shares, okay, as we go forward. As regards Brovana, because of the recall that we had, we need to go back and, again start driving our shares.
Okay. So theophylline ramp up, any timelines on where we should be and in terms of market share and by what time?
We can't guide to any specific timeline, but we still continue to drive our market shares for theophylline.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Glenn, on the Munro asset, it's one of our largest CapEx investments so far. From a return on this asset perspective, how should one think about returns on this asset incrementally going forward?
I think, Nitin, given that, you know, we have three lines there, right? We have injectables, pre-filled syringes, we have nebulizers and oral solids, right? We feel pretty comfortable. I think starting next year, right, you'll see a host of launches coming out of that asset, right, and that facility, which should justify the drive the payback, right, for our investment. Go ahead.
So, Nitin, basically, obviously, we did invest some amount of money, but the OPEX should be about 30, 35 million, you know. So, broadly, we see, you know, when the production and ramps up and products start coming out, it should more or less take care of it, you know, very well, easily, and pretty strategic in nature.
So, right now, just to sort of take from there, the plant is losing about $30 million because there's not much revenue from there right now.
No, not all of it gets spent every year. No, see, as and when we launch, I'm just trying to tell you that OPEX, what could happen in a year. So, a decent amount does get spent, but we do make some products in the last first half also. We did put some products in the market. So, I think as and when it ramps up fully, it will take care of itself, yeah, very easily.
And Emily, from a timing perspective, when are you penciling the business sort of covering it with OPEX and delivering positive profitability?
Yeah, I think there is a good, I mean, next year we see it, you know, more or less taking care of itself.
Secondly, just sort of taking off from there, you know, on the margins, we've been at about, we've scaled up to 19% margins now. Where do we grow from here over the next 2-3 years? And in your assessment, what has been the driver of the margin expansion from here on?
So, Nitin, if you look at it, see, I mean, obviously, we've grown it well and reached it to about 19%. Here on, we'll try and add on to it, but we wouldn't like to commit to a number. I mean, the way, and also you see some headwinds here and there in terms of cost, etc. But on a very broad way, when we do our workings and look at our plans, we see 19 to be very comfortable.
I think, Nitin, to add to what Mani is saying, right, the key for us is our spends in Ichnos, right? So while at the on the P&L level we'll remain at around 19-odd%, the cash at the cash level, right, because of our lower investments in Ichnos, the overall cash margins will be significantly higher. That's the way to think about us.
Okay, and again, from a business perspective, how do you see the various parts of the business in terms of where they stand? I mean, I guess with the IPO fundraise and with CapEx sort of coming off, so hopefully that the cash flow picture clearly seems to be a lot clearer than it was earlier. Now, from a business perspective, how are you looking at, the business, in the core business in the next 3 years from a scalability perspective?
So I think, our view, Nitin, is this business can grow 10-15% CAGR, right, over the next 5 years very comfortably. And, that's a good enough trajectory for us, right? And as I said, so next year, because of the high base of COVID product sales in this year, right? Next year, our growth could be challenging, but I think from the following year, of course, Ryaltris will be a big contributor next year, right? To the top line, but I think from the following year, very comfortably, with all the respiratory launches we have in the US and some complex generics coming to market from FY24 onwards, we see this business scaling up quite nicely, with a 10-15% CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years.
And I mean, squeezing the last one, Brent, other big asset allocation for us, capital allocation for us in the last several years has been the European business, where we bought a bunch of brands over the years. In your assessment, where has the business reached from a profitability perspective and where does it go from here?
I think it's doing very well for us. And, even this year, I think we're anticipating around 15-20% in H2 growth numbers. I think next year also will be strong. So Europe is doing well for us. With the launch of Ryaltris, that will further accelerate things. It's about a $200-$250 million business for us. So it should continue to keep scaling at a pace which is faster than some of our other geographies.
And Glenn, in terms of your investment requirements by way of further bank acquisition, is that still an imperative for the business, or I think business reaches a size where you don't really need to do that anymore that aggressively?
Yeah, I think, Nitin, we have reached definitely a critical size. As you can see in the first half of this year also, the spends on some of these in-licensing has substantially come down. So I think we have ramped up well. I mean, people can take various routes to reach an end. Somebody would acquire a company, somebody would in-license. So I think we have done well to put up a good business of 200 million close to that. So I think overall it has reached a critical stage. So I think it works well for us.
Okay. Thank you. And best luck.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. I'd like to remind all participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. We will read the disclaimer before we end. The information, statement and analysis made in this presentation describing the company or its affiliates' objectives, projections and estimates are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts and assumptions that are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those statements depending upon economic conditions, government policies and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events or otherwise. With this, we end the call today. A very big thank you to all of you for joining us on the call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.